Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 434, I think. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
These numbers are arbitrary anyway. Once you get to a certain size,
really
they're
just
all the same.
I reboot personally, but whatever.
start at zero again.
The Earl counter now.
It's the Marvel counter.
Yeah. It's like you get up to a certain number, and it's like you have to reboot so that people get excited again. You got to get that number one back out there with a tinfoil cover.
Or the ultimate Perfectly Sane Show.
Right. Earl is with us as well, joining us. And Jeff is here too.
Sure.
Pete has I don't think he likes us anymore. Or Jeff actually fired him. I'm not sure.
All things are possible.
Yes, it is.
Jeff, did you fire him? I want a confession.
If I did, I don't remember it, but that does not mean it did not happen.
For last week, that is technically possible. It's funny. Somebody asked about the show today because they were saying that they wanted to start a podcast. It's like, oh, we've been doing one, I think, for like almost 10 years.
Pretty much.
I was like, that's scary.
Wow. Yeah.
Like consistently too, not like sporadic. Like we're pretty consistent in getting one out every week.
That's true.
We're obsessed.
Somehow.
Yeah. I don't know how it happens. At all, but
we just took the lesson from the Patriots and we just do our jobs. That's all.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, job.
So it's early in the year. Normally there isn't a lot of news this early. CES going on, like not much in the way of game news though, but some big news broke today. I'm not sure how big it is or what impact it's actually going to have, but the fact that it involves Bungie and Activision, and Bungie splitting away from Activision and maintaining the rights to Destiny.
I didn't realize that Activision was upset to that degree with Destiny sales. Like, They were saying they weren't happy, but that's like, wow, incredibly not happy.
Yeah. at the beginning of all this, Bungie had broken away from Microsoft. They bought themselves out. They actually purchased their independence from Microsoft, leaving behind the Halo brand. But they went on to, they were going on to do their own thing. They teamed up with Activision 8 years ago, I guess. And they had signed a 10-year deal that dealt with 3 Destiny games. Only 2 of them have come out. And we are not to that we're not to that 10-year limit yet. And the 2 of these people, these 2 companies, we're out. We're gone. I don't know. Like, people are like, this is great for Bungie, but I think it actually speaks badly.
Yeah, because they really, like, as much as people were like, oh, Activision ruined what they were working on, it seemed like they had a lot of independence.
They
wanted.
Well, I mean, I don't know one way or the other on that.
Well, I think that pretty much got confirmed when Bungie came out and said, all right, here was the calendar we had before. We're going to keep to that same calendar. It's like, this is Bungie's vision, and it's just not working out.
Yeah, but then it makes you wonder, like, what happened behind the scenes that they were like, enough is enough? Like, what was the push-pull that they couldn't really settle on? Because even though there's only been 2 Destiny games, there's been something like 4 or 5 major expansions for the titles?
Yes.
So it's not like they haven't had time to work on the brand and the game and the series. So at some point, there had to be something that was just like, we're not going to come to terms on this franchise.
I don't think it probably ever, like, here's the thing. It's a really popular franchise, right? Like, it did good numbers, but maybe it never did the numbers it was supposed to. That's what I'm wondering is, like, I don't know. Like, I honestly don't know the specifics about it, so I have much of an opinion anyway. But, like, the one thing I noticed about everybody is, like, saying, like, well, this means that, like, Destiny is going to be great now. They're going to get to make the Destiny that they always wanted. I just find it funny. Like, why are we assuming that they're going to make another Destiny? Like,
I assume because they take the IP with them.
Yeah, and then they've said they will own and develop the franchise going forward.
Okay.
What I am curious about more, I guess, broadly speaking for the industry, is this idea of the studio house actually owning an IP versus the publisher. And, you know, we had a period of time a few years ago where EA, Activision, Ubisoft were buying up a lot of big development studios. Now, is this kind of the ripple effect that's going to start that trend backwards where people are like, we can now do this on our own. We don't need these giant corporations, you know, forcing us to do games in their way.
Right. It's possible.
I imagine part of Destiny was, like, even though there was only two games, they pretty much had content out for that franchise every year for the past, what, 5 or 6 years?
Right.
So
which,
maybe
which was still behind what they had agreed with Activision.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, that just kind of speaks to Bungie maybe signing a bad deal. But, yeah, they have had a major release each year since Destiny has come out.
Yeah. And I mean, I saw it briefly. I don't know how, like, I saw Activision stock was down, which makes sense. But I am kind of curious, like, what do they have to fill the gap? Because usually Activision has always had, like, two or three franchises going at once. Like, Call of Duty is the big one, but they had Skylanders for a bit. They had Tony Hawk. They had Guitar Hero. Like, they don't really have a backup right now that I know of.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's all Call of Duty, man. Bring back Tony Hawk, y'all.
I don't think they're bringing. They tried to do Tony Hawk, Jeff.
No, but actually, fucking try this time. Jesus
try harder.
Christ. Yeah.
I honestly think they tried the last time,
Jeff. And in a way, like in terms of concept, they did. You know, hey, we're going back to basics. Blah blah blah. But it's just yeah, bad. Real basic. Yeah. I don't know.
There's a so Jason Schreier, Kotaku. I guess he had some reporting done, and he had some quotes out of Bungie speaking about the troubles they've been having, and trying to keep up with their release schedule, and they were falling behind the schedule that they had set. So I guess we'll see what goes forward here. I do wonder though, like a game like Destiny, to Earl's point, I mean, you sign on with an Activision or an EA because of their marketing arm, probably more than anything. Like,
they can spend millions on marketing,
right? Like they have that; they're able to tap into a larger reserve,
and maybe get some more money into making the game too. Wouldn't that be part of it as well?
They did, like, but yeah. Activision actually had Vicarious Visions was helping Bungie with this, and one of their other studios was also. If I could find the other. Vicarious Visions and High Moon Studios were helping Bungie out with Destiny, so that support's gone, I assume.
Right.
It'll be interesting. It's gonna be really interesting. Cause, like, I thought Forsaken was really good, but they. I know that our friend Don, he picked up the new season pass. He has not been impressed with what they've released on it so far. So we'll see. It's a weird one. Bungie also took investment from NetEase of $100 million. So,
the Chinese company.
Yes.
Wasn't this like months ago?
Yeah. They did that sometime last year. So they're not like wholly independent either. Like they took some money from other investors. I'm sure that NetEase is going to want some return on investment.
Well, I assume it's slightly different. Like this, you still got to operate kind of independently. You just are expected to pay them back. Where with Activision, I imagine there are milestones that you want to hit and stuff like that. I am curious to see what comes of it because, of course, without Activision safety net, you don't necessarily have that. Like the original Destiny was, what, delayed by like 2 years or something like that?
Yep.
You don't necessarily have that same comfort when you're working on your own.
Yeah, you could run out of cash, right? Like,
right, especially since like Activision, like even though, you know, we just said they don't have a whole lot going on, you know, they're big enough and have enough like little projects here and there that can sustain development of you know, problem developments like Destiny that eventually when it comes out it hits.
I'm very curious. What else did they have? What else did they release last year?
That's a good question.
Diablo again.
Yeah.
Call of Duty again.
Did Blizzard have, I mean, I guess that they're like Overwatch is kind of their evergreen, I guess, title.
Yeah, I guess Blizzard is going to be the active part of the company now because.
Which is weird, right? Well, and Call of Duty is still like
Call of Duty, but like again, like that's one franchise.
Yeah,
it's a huge franchise. I mean, it's still the franchise. I don't know how, but like you know, like at some point, I think investors would want to see some type of diversity. Like again, you had Destiny. You know, it might not have hit the expectations. It still did several million units every. I don't know what to call them. Season, I guess.
Quarter.
They released last year just Spyro and Call of Duty.
I was going to say Spyro Reignited. I mean, that did, I'm sure, good numbers for what it cost to make.
This year coming forward, they have they're publishing Sekiro, the From Software game.
That'll probably be good.
Well, I mean, it'll be good for people like us. Like like it's not going to be a huge seller. It's not going to do Destiny numbers.
No.
True. But it will sell. It probably won't even do Dark Souls numbers. But like those Dark Souls games are successful for what they are. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah. But again, you're kind of going into that conversation with Bungie again. It's like, yes, Destiny sold really well for what it was. But is it Activision good enough?
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
They also have a Crash Racing remastered or whatever that is. That is coming. And I assume another Call of Duty game this year.
Yeah, it's got to be, right?
Obviously, yeah.
And then on the Blizzard side, Overwatch will probably continue to make them money. Hearthstone probably continue to make them money. I guess is Diablo Immortal supposed to be coming out? That's the phone game. Is that coming out this year?
I thought that was out, or was it just people upset when it
was? No, that was just people upset about it. It's not out yet.
I've heard so much about it, I just assumed that it came out already.
Right. Yeah, there was so much uproar about an announcement that you would think that it had come out. And then, I mean, World of Warcraft still brings in a ridiculous amount of money, even if they're only down to like 7 million subscribers. That's still more than like any other to pay MMO. So
insanity.
Yeah. They don't seem as big as they once were, but, still tons of games out there. It's like, I mean, 2017, they really only had World War II and Crash and Destiny. That was it. So it looks like three big games a year for them, which is, that's less than like EA releases by a lot.
EA releases like three a quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, one again it is Call of Duty, so it's like,
right?
You have that. You have a few things rounding your shit out,
and all that Overwatch money, Overwatch, and
yeah, for sure, all of
World of Warcraft. You know, it's.
Yeah, but I mean, again, I you know, you think of it from an investor standpoint. It's like you want to see growth. Not that this is just kind of thread and water. It's like what is going to be their next big franchise? Like Crash and Spyro so well, but those are still remastered. Are we getting sequels, original games in those franchises? Is that something they can pursue?
I think they will. I think we will see that. But again, like even that is like. I don't think anything like that is going to fill a gap left by like Destiny or the declining, you know, as Call of Duty numbers decline. Like those two numbers alone, like you said, investors want to see them be going in the other direction. I don't know how you make those up.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting one.
And I would also imagine, since this was just announced, that they probably didn't have like a plan B for the year. It's not like, oh, we're not going to have Destiny this year. It's put something big in the works.
Right. Oh, well, Bungie, Destiny,
what does it all mean?
It means Destiny 3 exclusive to the Epic Game Store.
And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be so good because Activision didn't get their grubby little fingers on it.
Now, just a random question, but how quickly do you think Microsoft was on the phone after this was announced?
I bet they did not call at all. Remember that? I don't remember. Oh, maybe you guys don't remember, but their exit agreement with Microsoft when Bungie bought themselves back was that. Microsoft had right of first refusal on their next game. So they could have published the original Destiny and they passed on it.
Yeah, but I mean, in that, 8 years, Microsoft has had a lot of leadership changes. That's going
This is true. This is true.
I do wonder, though, if they looked at it and went, this shit's nuts and you guys are a mess. You know, we'll keep Halo. Have fun with your Destiny thing. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Would be interesting if, you know, Bungie ends up on Microsoft's stage at E3.
But to be fair, that's the only stage that's going to be at E3.
That is true. They were like, Destiny 3, Xbox 1-2 exclusive, Xbox 12 exclusive, right here. That's it. That's about it for game news. I didn't see anything else really big or new.
Nintendo's been dropping little nuggets on their Twitter.
Yeah, anything interesting?
I'm doing this off the top of my head, so I might have... Yoshi's Crafted World has a release date.
Yeah, it's March
329, I want to say. Yeah. It looks cool.
I really do like the art style for that. I think the other things were is Final Fantasy 10, 10, 2, and 12 are April.
Yeah.
Dragon Dogma's port is in April.
Yeah.
None of those get me really excited.
Kirby's, and I don't know if this is new, but I saw this today. There's a Kirby Epic Yarn port coming to 3DS.
Yeah. Oh, great.
So.
This all changes everything.
I know.
It's kind of, the only thing I'll say about, like, I mean, I guess there's a lot of people, like, mad because they thought there was going to be a Direct. And they think that, like, this is just, like, they're just doing analysis on Twitter now instead of Direct, which is like, I honestly don't really care one way or another. As long as I get like cool trailers for video games and shit, I don't really care. Like,
I have to say, I find that audience, that crowd so fascinating because like you said, ultimately you're just getting a press release either in written form or video presentation, but you're still getting a press release. It's like
do you need it all in one big chunk or is it like, I'm fine with it. Like, like kind of like trickling out actually.
Right. So that, that's, like, that's
maybe
way better.
Maybe tomorrow they'll say something cool, you know, I don't know. But the one thing I noticed so far though is like, I don't know, Nintendo has like a lot of games that are supposedly 2019, and so far it's like pretty dry through April, where it's like there's the Mario port coming out tomorrow and a No More Heroes game, but like all these like all I'm trying to say, I guess, is like I don't believe that if they're releasing all these supposedly games that we're going to be talking about very shortly this year, are they all going to be stacked in fucking the fall? Because I don't believe that. Nintendo usually has one or two games for the fall, and that's it, you know?
Well, I think what they're going to do, and that's, I mean, I think this is one part of the reason that the right conversation has come up, is they tend to have something in January, which is kind of like, this is our roadmap for the year. They'll announce something. Like, actually, they announced Smash Bros. The year before they announced Odyssey. Then it's like, this is going to be the game that we're going to focus on at E3. And then that's when you get the back half of the year. So I still think you'll get stuff. Like, we still have, what is it, Demon X Machina, which is still supposed to be a first half game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a Fire Emblem the Three Houses is supposed to be a first half game. So I think we'll start seeing stuff like that that feels in May, June, and July. Either at the end of this month or early next month, or we'll get some. Again, it might not be a direct, it might just be a press release, but you'll get that stuff. But, I mean, and this kind of goes into what we're going to talk about, Aid, with our five most anticipated games.
Yeah, that's fine.
The back half of this year is really not filled in for anybody right now.
This is true.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of games that Nintendo is supposedly putting out this year that, in my opinion, are kind of big. And so, like, I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, if they are all actually coming out this year, some of them are coming out, like, in June or July or something. You know, like, they can't all be stacked. That's why I'm starting to believe they're not all coming out. But anyways, we'll get into those, I guess, as we go forward. But I guess it doesn't feel like there's, like, I don't know, Nintendo usually has one big one for, like, the spring. I guess that's Yoshi, right?
I mean, I assume for, in their head, it's Mario and Yoshi. And February's nothing right now?
Yeah, I don't think so. There's Steins Gate. That's not from Nintendo, though.
No, I mean, like, it's fascinating because, again, we'll get into this
in a bit. It just feels like...
February is jack for everybody else. Like, February has, what, Anthem. It has Crackdown 3, Far Cry, New Dawn.
Metro.
It's like all these games are in February, and then it's like March on. It's like,
none of the ones that are in February I care about. I don't think though. Like, it's like for me, it's like there's like Resident Evil 2, and then Sekiro in like the end of March. Right. I think.
Well, we're gonna come back to the release calendar.
Anyways,
what have you guys been playing? Anything you want to talk about?
I'm playing everything.
Okay, Jeff. Well, everything. Tell us about everything, man.
I guess I can tell you one thing. I can tell you one thing that's like I guess kind of new that I played. Namco Museum for the Switch.
Okay.
Does anyone else own this game?
No.
Okay, because I bought it because it was on sale. I think it's no longer on sale. Just trying to pull up like what games it has on it, but yeah, it was on sale for like $15 on the eShop instead of $30, so like that's what sold me on it.
These are like old Namco arcade games.
Yeah. But you know, one thing I didn't notice before I bought it is that like the, you know, like a lot of these old arcade games have like borders around them when you play them on like modern TVs and shit, right? Like, but like here, they made the screen so goddamn small that you're playing on. It's like Tetris effect small, or even smaller, dude. It's so fucking tiny. I'm like, why is like? It makes no sense. Like, you can't tell me that you can't keep the proper aspect ratio, but just make that shit fucking bigger, man. Like, what the fuck? So that was a little. I guess that's one complaint I have about it. It also does not have these, like, Namco Museum collections have, like, varying, I don't know, like varying amounts of like how many games are in them and shit. Like this is, I think on the smaller end, it has like 10 games, I want to say.
Seems a little low.
I'm trying to find the freaking exact. Okay, here we go. Here's the games. Pac-Man, Galaga, Dig Dug, The Tower of Druaga. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Sky Kid, Rolling Thunder, Galaga 88, Splatterhouse, Rolling Thunder 2, Tank Force, and Pac-Man Versus. So, I mean, I think there's a couple like inclusions there that stand out for me. One is Pac-Man Versus. That's the Miyamoto. I think Miyamoto helped develop that. That was the one, I think it was supposed to be like for GameCube, was it? Where it's like one, like people are playing as ghosts on the TV, but then one person has, I think, like a Game Boy Advance and they're playing as Pac-Man. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
And so this is a port of that, which, so like, probably not a super easy game to find for the GameCube. So that's interesting. You do need multiple Switches, though, if you want to play as Pac-Man. Oh, so, like, you can play with your friends and, like, try this game out, but you'll all be playing as the fucking ghosts on the screen or whatever.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. How else would you do that? But that's...
Right. Or, like, I don't know. It's, yeah, because you can't pull the Switch from the dock and have one person play that way. You know, that'd be nice.
Do you need multiple copies of the game to do that, though?
No, you don't. So, I mean, they didn't entirely... Again, you're right. Like, how else do you pull this off properly? But it's cool that's included. And, like, just playing around with it... like, just playing as one of the ghosts is kind of neat. Like, it's cool to see. The other one for me is, like, Splatterhouse. Like, I don't know if that game has a, like, whatchamacallit rating. ESRB rating. But, like, it would be M-rated, I would think.
Probably today. I think it came out before. It's like, it yeah. didn't originally come yes. out like an arcade.
I think it's before Mortal Kombat 2. So.
Yeah, it was 1990 on the TurboGrafx-16, so...
Yeah. Arcade 1988, and you know it's gory, it's gruesome game, like especially, you know, for its time. I guess now that's so tame that it could just be thrown on a fucking Namco museum and no problem. Like, I don't know what the rating of this Namco museum release is, but I'm assuming it's not like M, right?
It's probably E to M or something stupid like that.
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they got
Is it a physical release? Because I don't know if they write digital games.
I don't know if it is a physical release. Like I said, I bought it off the eShop because it was on sale. But yeah, like those two stand out for me. Like, it's cool to get to play the arcade version of Splatterhouse, you know? But then, like, some of the things, it's just like, you only have 10 games, but you have Rolling Thunder and Rolling Thunder 2.
It is rated T.
So then, yeah, I'm assuming Splatterhouse is the one that pushes it up to T. But yeah, you get away, I think, kind of with a lot, but in the same way, it's like, yeah, it's like old 2D fucking whatever. Like, you know, monsters and guts and shit. But, you know, at the like, it's just funny to me because I remember Splatterhouse at the time was like, that was like the edgiest shit that there was, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it was like, it made me, when I was a kid, like, I wanted to get a TurboGrafx so I could fucking play that game. Like, that's how serious it was. The game kind of sucks now, but it's like, it's also, you know, I don't know, nostalgia. But yeah, like, it's just weird how some of the stuff is kind of repeats when there's only 10 in there. Rolling Thunder, Rolling Thunder 2. You know, Galaga 88. But again, I got it for $15, so I guess whatever. But it would be nice if you could properly blow up the screens to make them bigger, because like, they are really tiny. I was bitching about it on Twitter.
Oh, because you're playing in handheld mode, yes.
Or even on the big screen. It's still like, it's just such a small amount of, like, you know, I have a huge 65-inch screen, and this thing's like taking up like 15 inches in the center of the screen. Like, what are we doing?
That's
but and like you can zoom in, or like a lot of people have said, oh, you could like flip the screen by 90 degrees to like play it sideways, but it's like, okay, how am I gonna like, what am I gonna do? Fucking put like a kickstand up and play it that way? Like, fuck that, dude. I'm not doing that. You know, if I'm playing on my big screen TV, turning it sideways does not fix anything. Like, I don't know.
I'm just I'm disappointed that there's no Miss Pac-Man in this.
Exactly. Like that's a huge thing that stuck out to me too. I'm like yeah, you get Pac-Man and you get Pac-Man Versus. Like, and Pac-Man Versus it's neat to have that, right? But you can't throw Miss Pac-Man in there, like. First off, it should be as big as the biggest collection they've ever released, which is like way bigger than that. You know what I mean? Like, it should be like everything that they fucking have ever released in the arcade should be on this thing. If you're gonna charge $30 for it, I don't know. But at half off at $15, I don't like. I'll play Pac-Man enough that it'll be fine. You know.
I mean. To be fair, I'm sure that this probably was up in the like $50 or $60 range when it released on the N64. But the first Namco Museum was just Pac-Man, Miss Pac-Man, Galaga, Galaxian, Pole Position, and Dig Dug.
So was that six games?
Six games.
Yeah. Well, this ain't much more. And, you know, if you look through... There are other releases. Some of them do have like 20, 30 games. And
yeah.
I mean, that's what you should be doing at this point if you're going to release these things. Especially since we've all bought them before. You know, like, this is not my first time buying fucking Pac-Man off you. I'm keeping you afloat. Hook it up.
But, I mean, from a business standpoint, if you're buying it repeatedly, why change the price?
Well, I just feel like it should be getting better instead of, like,
worse. You say that, but you're still buying it.
He buys it every time.
Dude, they got me. I actually have not bought it in a long time. And it really was just me looking at the eShop and going, oh, it'd be cool to have. Like, basically, everything is like, oh, it'd be cool to have on the Switch, you know? And just going, yeah, have Pac-Man on the go and shit. And
I was
for half off. Like, I'm surprised you did not buy that, Chris, for $15.
So, well, I mean, I have Pac-Man and other ways to play.
Oh, sure.
Mobile wise,
it's the cabinet like sitting right next to him right now.
I wish.
Something one of those what up arcade things.
Something I've been contemplating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Same. Like $200 around the holiday, and was like,
"Yep,
get a Pac-Man player and just build the cabinet, put it in my basement."
They sell like these little boosters too, so it could basically be like the right height and everything. It's like you could build a fucking out of those things. You can build like a arcade in your basement.
I'm sure that like just getting those pieces that I could figure out a way to like put other games onto that.
True.
So our buddy Chris, he had bought it. And he had said that Pac-Man Championship Edition, both that and the second one were included in the bundle that he bought, but I looked into it and could only find Pac-Man CE2.
Yes. I'm looking at this right now on Wikipedia. It says a retail release is bundled with CE2 and oh yeah, that's it. That's the only thing.
Yeah, that's it. It's just the museum and CE2. And like I would have bought it if CEDX was on there because I would pay to get that on the Switch.
So after playing this the other night, I went to go play my version of CE2 that I have on Xbox.
Mm-hmm.
I still like do not understand what they were doing with that.
It's a weird game.
Like, all right, so like the idea is once you get enough pellets, you can run to get the fruit. Is that like what you're supposed to do in it? I was playing last night. I'm like, this, it's the rules are completely different than CE1. CE1 is just build a big ass line of ghosts and fucking get the ghosts, right?
Yeah, it was basically Pac-Man that you played with a timer, And like your goal was to get the highest score you could within that time.
And the best way to do it was eating, at least from what I can tell, eating giant lines of ghosts.
Yeah, you build up a giant train of ghosts and then hit a power pellet and turn yourself around and just gobble them all up in one big go.
And so what the hell is the goal of two?
I have no idea. I've put time into two. I don't get it. I don't understand what, like, it's a weird
thing. It seemed like they were trying to do like all sorts of fucking bullshit.
Like you jump, there's boss battles. They're like, it's weird.
Yeah, like there's a lot of variations with the boards, which I think is kind of cool. And I think like all that stuff's not a terrible idea.
Oh, right.
But,
yeah.
But the main thing I could understand was like, oh, you just eat enough pellets and then a fruit pops up. I'm like, that's kind of what happens in Pac-Man, though. Also, like, you know, and you just go get the fruit for extra points or whatever. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, yeah, but for whatever reason, like, two is just not, like, every time I try it, I'm just like, this is not, because one, like, you just think about how good DX is, like, how fucking great that game felt, and this is not that, you know?
Nope.
So that's another thing I played, but I don't know, anyone else play anything new slash old?
Tony, Earl?
I mean, I played so much Battle Brothers, the game is so good. Everybody play Battle Brothers. I talked about it last week. You weren't listening, Jeff.
No, obviously.
Jeff was a little.
You run a mercenary company. You like hire dudes and go out and do stuff for money. You know, not that kind of stuff, Jeff. Stop. You got. No, you like you'll protect a town that's under attack by goblin raiders, or you'll. Like go out to an area and hunt down monsters that are there, or you'll like follow a road and make sure that it's clear so that things can go through it. You do all this stuff. And you run your little company, and it's so addicting. It's got like that whole XCOM thing going where you get your people and like level them up. One of the funny things is when one of them dies, the rest of your company gets sad if they've been around for a while. If it's the new guy who dies, nobody cares. But
is this like playing on some mobile or something?
This is a PC game.
Oh,
yep. Sorry, Jeff.
So
sorry.
Jeff will never play it.
Yeah. Well, I was looking at images of it. It looks like it's called Battle Bros.
Battle Brothers.
Oh wait, never mind. I'm looking at a game called Battle Bros.
Yeah, don't play Battle Bros. Play Battle Brothers.
I'm curious, what is Battle Bros?
It looks like a mobile game.
That's it is.
Like
it totally is.
Isometric.
It's an Android tower defense game.
Ew. Yeah, this game is better than that, probably.
Okay, I see it. Well, since I couldn't figure out Civilization, I just give up on bullshit like this.
This is probably easier to figure out than Civilization, but...
But Jeff would have to play it on a PC.
Which also was never happening.
Right.
Can't win them all. Earl, you been playing anything?
No, I just buy video games. I don't actually play them.
That's fair. Sometimes we do that as well.
I do a lot of that.
Have you bought any video games that are just sitting there waiting for you to play them?
All of them. I mean, I guess the one I've been most... I've been digging into recently has been Monster Hunter World.
Yeah,
just to go. It's a good game, but god damn, is that online setup so annoying?
Yes, it's weird. It's weird.
It is such a backward system.
It's so weird that we played it for like a month and didn't realize it was broken, and then they fixed it, and we're like, "But this is fixed. This is not what.
This is still broken."
I don't know. I did get like. After a while, you're just, like, used to it, so it's just, like, whatever, this is just how, like, you right. know, at some point, it just, like, fell into the background. It's like,
all right, it's like Battlefield. Play. It's, like, it's broken, but I love the gameplay, so
yeah.
I
keep
playing. Hey, it's not even that it's broken. It's, like, some of the decisions. It's like,
weird. Yeah.
If you want to play with your friends, they all, you have to, like, one person has to go through all the cutscenes before somebody can actually join.
I know, that was a stupid,
and it's
a weird,
like,
stupid thing.
So people are just sitting there for, like, 10, 15 minutes, like...
Are you ready yet?
Yeah, and then like sometimes it's like it's not even like, oh, go here, and then it triggers a cutscene. It's like, no, track down this monster. So it's like a scavenger hunt for like 15 minutes, and it's right. Like, this isn't fun for anybody.
And you're like, the clock is ticking too, because
yeah, so long. And you feel bad if you're the one like, oh, I can't find this monster, and nobody can help you because they can't get in your game until you get all the cutscenes. And then the fact that you can't you can explore the overworld together if you do an ad hoc version of like, oh, this mission's complete, but I don't want to go back to town yet. And it's like, why not just give us the option to explore the open world together? But it's a very pretty game. I just got a new HDR TV for Christmas. It was one of the first games I got to play on it, and it's so lovely with that on. That and Marvel Spider-Man. Spider-Man looks amazing.
Yeah, sure.
Spider-Man is pretty.
The sad thing is I don't want to go back to Spider-Man ever again.
Really?
It's a fun game, but it just kind of, by the end, I'm just like, this, you were really fun. Probably could have cut out like half of the encounters with random street thugs, and I would have enjoyed Joy.
Yeah. Out. So, some of those, I mean, it's the only platinum I've ever gotten.
It's an easy platinum, yeah. But
even that, I was like, I don't really want to go do this base. Yeah. Again, it's the same. It's a different base, but it's the same base.
Yeah, and then I heard a lot of the DLC is just those encounters again. I'm like, oh, you're good. I will enjoy what I enjoyed of this, the core game, and
you I'm know, gonna pretend like that never happened, right?
Yeah,
that stuff was not part of my experience.
Yeah, but it's a really fun game to kind of just go back to and like swing around for a bit and. That's what I do. And I guess Pokemon Let's Go, I'm still doing that during my lunch break. I hope a lot of the ideas from Let's Go gets carried over into the core franchise.
No random
encounters are big. I actually do like the dynamic of having the catch mechanic different from the battle mechanic.
Yeah.
I don't get why people are so against that. Maybe you can have ways to make better strategies with it, but I'd much rather something like that than like, oh, battle this Pokemon, battle this trainer. It's like the loop is so tedious.
Yeah.
Right. Like, and I mean, maybe they can shore up the catching mechanics a little bit, but I don't know. I enjoy that more than like the, all right, well, I'm going to fight a Pidgey that I stumbled across for the fifth time in a row as I've walked through this grass. Like, now it's like, I don't need a Pidgey. I can just move on.
Yeah. Yes, and I hope that's the future going forward. Oh, and I got Star Ink. I guess that's the other thing.
Nice.
Another fun game that gets really repetitious after a while.
Yeah.
Again, and also a very pretty game. But yeah, I'm like, I really enjoyed it for a while.
You get it on the Switch?
Yeah.
Yeah, that I mean, it's fun with Fox.
But then you kind of realize like all the missions are like, I'm really at a point in the game where the game's like, we got nothing for you to do, so just go here and collect this thing repeatedly until the story kicks back in.
Yeah, it's a lot of like even the story stuff is like a lot of fetch quests, just like go here, get this, bring it back to this place, sell it, go here, kill this, come back here, like.
Yeah, that's pretty much the loop I'm in now. So, yeah.
It's I like what I've played of it. The ships are cool. Did you get the actual toys or did you get the digital version?
I had the digital version. I think it was on sale for like 40. And it came with all the stuff. So it was a no-brainer. But yeah, I do like the ships. The characters are kind of a Saturday morning cartoon-esque, but...
Yep.
It's fine. The Star Fox characters, I mean, I guess because they're predefined, have a bit more personality and stuff like that. And it's odd when Nintendo characters are the most interesting things in the game.
and they're so kind of like, they're obviously shoehorned in. Because like, it's like you can see like where how this game is played like on PS4 or Xbox One where like where the story is because like the Fox characters will just like they'll like stroll in and out of scenes like as needed.
Yeah.
It's really funny. Like, all right, well, they're out of here because we're gonna have the real story bit. But then we're gonna bring like the Toad and the Fox and like we're gonna bring them back in a minute. It's just goofy.
Oh my god, I just had my first successful challenge in Madden ever.
Amazing. history in the making.
Just happened. It just happened.
I enjoy Starlink. It's a goofy little game.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm happy for not necessarily Toys to Die, but I'm glad that it took several of them dying for people to realize, like, yeah, maybe just give me the option to play the game and buy this stuff digitally so I don't have to carry all these toys. Like, part of the reason I didn't do it is because I have Amiibos and I have Disney Infinity figures. Like, I don't need more toys.
Right. I bought the physical version of for the Switch because of the R-Wing. That was really it. So I just wanted like a little model of that. But yeah, it's so much better to just be able to buy everything and just like, here it is, play. If I could have bought like Skylanders or something like that, I think it would have been more enjoyable.
And honestly speaking, they probably would have got more money because out of the times I bought, like, well, I got my Disney Infinity stuff and they had the fire sale. So I got like most of it for like $3 at Toys R Us.
Right.
It's sad that none of that exists anymore. But you can do it digitally and it would always exist. But even there, and I guess.
Yep. I've been playing some stuff, but just like older stuff. Continuing to play TIE Fighter on the first expansion pack there. Nobody really wants to hear about TIE Fighter. And some Super Mario Brothers 3.
Good stuff.
I have been replaying Odyssey.
Nice.
Like Super Mario Odyssey, that is.
Yes, I did. When you said that you and showed everybody that you had bought new Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe, I saw Odyssey was in front of it and that you were playing it. Like, that's an interesting choice.
Well, there was a certain night the other night where I ended up staying up all night for reasons that I won't get into here. But at the end of that night, I don't know how, at like 4:30 in the morning, I was like, you know what? I'm going to start a new file of Odyssey. And it's been kind of...
You don't even remember why. It just happened.
It felt right. And it was right.
It's always right, yes.
And I've been playing a lot of it. Like in the. Well, here's the thing. I went to work on Monday this week. I have not gone back to work since Monday. So I've been playing a lot of like shit over the last couple of days. And one of those is I've just been kind of like burning through Odyssey. I'm pretty far into it, man. I'm like 3 or 4 levels past New Donk City, so it's kind of fun to go revisit it, like outside of the hype of it coming out and the whole like it versus Zelda thing that was going on that year. Like just to like just go back and play it and just enjoy it.
Yeah, instead of you being like, I have to
choose and yeah.
Team Zelda. I happen to
not like this game because Zelda came out this year.
Yeah. But, like, I will say, like, I like it a lot. I do. And it's fun. And it's easily one of the best Switch games. But it's, like, I still don't know if it's, like, my favorite 3D Mario. And, like, I don't know how I feel about it, like, overall. Like,
it's my second favorite 3D Mario.
After what, though?
Galaxy 2.
It is.
Really?
Fourth favorite 3D Mario.
Fourth favorite.
After what, Earl?
After Galaxy 2 and 3D World.
That's fair. I mean, 3D World.
I love that you have 3D World up there. Thank you. Because like, for me, that might be my favorite one, dude. Like, it gets such like short shrift. I feel like that one needs. If anything needed a port onto the Switch, it's that. Because like that's what I like tell people about. And they don't believe me even. Like our friend Aaron or whatever is like, oh, everything that the. You know, that they did in that era sucks. I'm like, no, dude.
No.
Yeah, and like, he'll be like, it's not a true 3D Mario. And I was like, yeah, it is, dude. Just because the levels are more designed does not mean it's not 3D. Like, yeah, it's linear a little more, but so what, dude? That means they were able to design.
They made good. Tighter levels.
Yes.
Like,
exactly. But I do like, I get what people, like, why people want. And I'm one of those people, like, I'm having my most fun in Mario where I'm like, could just explore and find all these hidden secrets. And like, Odyssey is really good for that. Like, there's a secret everywhere. Every 2 feet, there's something. There's fucking, I don't remember how many fucking moons in that game.
And I love the little challenges to get most of them. Like, some of them are just sitting there. But
well, that's the thing is, like, that's the thing I kind of noticed is, like, some of them are so easy. Like, and just, yeah, it's just like, oh, ground pound, and then there it is. Like,
But I think it's a great feedback loop because then you're always kind of finding stuff.
You always feel like you're doing something.
It's something Breath of the Wild kind of did with the Korok seeds where it's like you're always kind of rewarded for experimenting. Even though the game is kind of like the Odyssey puts you on a path and you kind of go through that for the main thing. But along the way, you'll find 15 different things to distract you, and then you're always rewarded for taking that distraction.
Well, I love it. It's just like they thought through everything with Odyssey. Like, there's, I'm trying to think of exactly which level it is. I think it might be one of the ice levels, but like, you climb up this thing, and it's just like, there's no reason to do it. There's absolutely no reason.
All the way top, out, and then jump, and then there's an invisible block, and you go on top of that, and you jump, and then there's a fucking
and it's like, shit.
That's what I wanted to be up there, and that's what was up there.
Like, they even put something like up here where like there's no reason, there's no indication that you should ever go up there. It's just like I'm gonna see if I can, and you get up there, and there's a star, it's like our moon. Like,
it is a really fun. It could be the most fun to dick around in Mario for sure, where it's just like every nook and cranny there's something, but just so much of it is like, in my opinion, it's just not challenging. Like, I don't know, like it's just so cool, like in like Sunshine, like some of like the little challenges in that were like go through this. I guess that is in Odyssey too, where it's like a long little platforming segment.
But they have some of them.
I don't know. It's hard for me to shit on it because, like, the whole time you're playing it, it's just like fucking butter. It's just like, it just feels right. It just feels perfect, you know?
It's just happiness.
Yeah.
Playable happiness.
I don't know what I mean by butter, but like, it's just like.
I don't know either.
He means it's butter than Zelda. That's what he's talking about.
Butter than Zelda. There we go.
It feels silky, like a glove. I don't know where I'm going with any of this.
Nobody is sure where you're going with it, Jeff, but it's all right.
But I do think, like Earl did touch upon, like with Zelda, though, like I didn't care about the Korok seeds and that, but I did feel like Zelda gave me that too really well in Breath of the Wild with the whatchamacallit. I can't remember
what they were.
The shrines, yes. Like, because it is, like, you're always within, like, 100 feet of one, it's almost like, because there's, what, like, 120 of them, you know? Like, there's always one somewhere close by. Some of them are just kind of hard to find, but I don't know. It's fun playing through that again. And the cool thing, too, about Odyssey is, like, you could burn through it the way I am. Like, I'm kind of, like, doing each level, like, I get the amount of moons I need, plus maybe 3 or 4 more, and then I'm just like, all right, I'm moving on. But, like, or you can spend, like, forever in the levels. Like, some of the levels have, like, 70 stars or moons in them, and you could, you know, you could be there for a while trying to get all of them before you move on. So, in fact, I don't think you can even get all of them always the first pass through, but it is a great game. Don't get me wrong, it's just no Zelda.
You're right, Jeff. It's not Zelda. Better than Zelda. All right. So that's what we've been up to. But there are a bunch of games coming out, obviously. They never stop coming out. But now that we are about 11, 12 days into January, we're going to quickly take a look at the 5 games each of us are kind of looking forward to over the course of the year. So, Earl, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, okay. So, mine is going to be very Nintendo-centric, shocking.
Same.
But I'll throw out the first non-Nintendo one. Gears 5, which I assume is coming out this year.
Yes, I hope
huge
so.
Huge Gears fan. Hopefully not the Funko Pop one. Who knows? But I'm always excited.
I want that one, too. I want them all. I
do want that one. I actually want all 3 of them that they announced, but I don't think the other 2 are for this year. Are they?
I thought that the Funko one would be early this year.
I honestly thought the Funko one would have been the end of last year. It would have been, because like, they didn't really have anything last year.
Gears Tactics, I assume, won't be in this year.
No, I think that's probably going to be the next console.
Yeah.
Then the next one I have, I'm hoping is coming out this year. So we just mentioned 3. Huge fan of the franchise. Always great to see my boy Luigi get the shine. I mentioned this one earlier, Demon X Machina. I'm a huge fan of giant robots. A simple man. I don't know what to actually expect from this game, but it's a 4-player co-op game. Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I enjoyed the franchise, the X-Men Legends games, and the 2 Marvel Ultimate Alliance games. I know it's a different company, it's a different publisher, but again, 4-player online co-op, I'm always there for that. And then finally, Anthem, which looks good. I also had a bonus one, which doesn't necessarily count, but I'm really curious to see what comes of the Sonic the Hedgehog movie.
Oh, yeah. Something's going to come of it.
Yes. I think Detective Pikachu is going to be a much better movie, but I think Sonic the Hedgehog is going to be a very interesting movie to watch the development of over this year based off the initial reveal.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeff, what's your
these are ranked because I like rankings.
All right.
So I'm going from 5 to 1. Number 5 is Luigi's Mansion 3. Never really got into the series, but always wanted to, so I'm looking forward to it. 4 is Bayonetta 3. I love Bayonetta 2. It was one of my favorite games that year, so I'm super psyched for that. Number 3 is Animal Crossing. Like, oh my god, please just, like, it's going to be so amazing to have Animal Crossing where I can play it on my TV or the go, so I don't have to have fights about which version is better anymore. Also, it would be nice if they like actually like did a little more with this one, but even if it is just another like copy-paste Animal Crossing, I'll be happy. But here's hoping it's more than that. Number 2 for me is Resident Evil 2. I mean, I love the early Resident Evil games, and this just looks like a proper ass remake. It's really soon, and I'm taking the week off to fucking play it. And my number 1 is Metroid Prime 4. God willing that it comes out this year for all the obvious reasons. Please be good. Please be coming.
That's, I mean, who knows?
I did see a rumor today that it's like supposedly coming out November 29th. But, again, we'll see.
Okay. I'll go next here. Resident Evil 2, obviously. Mine are not ranked like Jeff's, but,
Gotta rank them. Gotta rank them.
Why? Why do you have to rank them?
Rankings are fun.
Rankings suck.
They are, but I mean, like, we'll just go with what's coming out quickly. Like, Resident Evil 2 is the next like big game I'm really kind of excited about.
I'm so excited.
And there's a demo coming.
Mm-hmm.
So
should be available tomorrow, and it's one shot only.
One chance.
Yeah.
Which I think is an interesting idea for a demo if you could replay, but as far as I can understand, it's a one-time, one-shot demo.
That's it, yeah.
It's an odd decision.
At least it's a little taste before. I mean, I don't really, you know, they can give me nothing. I'm still getting it a week later or whatever, so it's whatever.
Yeah, but I like the idea of the one-shot demo, like the one-shot, but I don't like the idea of it being a one-shot demo.
Yeah, true.
Next up for me is Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, also soon.
I think Pete and I are the only real Kingdom Hearts fans here, so
maybe this will change me.
Probably not. Probably. I mean, I know you have a love of Disney, Jeff. But
I've been playing Disneyland Adventures the last couple of days as well. Just throw that out there.
Kingdom Hearts is a very weird thing that just happens to have Disney characters in it. So, after that Anthem, I don't know what I honestly I don't know what to think of this game. I hope it's good. I really do, because if it's not good, it could like end BioWare.
Right. It could. Please don't end BioWare.
No. Please, BioWare. Stick around.
Maybe they have a partner up with Bungie.
Yeah. Anthem Destiny. Destiny Anthem. Gears 5 at Earl Burton. I'm a big Gears fan. I really liked 4 quite a bit. And I enjoy playing Horde with you guys, so that'll be a good time. And finally, and I don't know if it's coming out or not, it is listed as a Q4. It is the Respawn Star Wars game, Jedi Fallen Order.
That would be cool.
I mean, there's nothing on this, right? Like, I
think they have said that it's, I don't know if it's this year, but it's supposed to be out before the end of the next fiscal, at the end of the fiscal year. So it's supposed to be out
before. It may end up being out sometime next
year.
I kind of hope it's EA's big, like, multiplayer, first person shooter, like, filling in for that, like, spot that Battlefield would have.
Yeah, I'm like with the movie coming out
for Battlefront in December. Yeah. I hope that's where it hits, is like maybe like November ish. But yeah, I could see it slipping into like January or February next year. I hope it doesn't. But. Tony?
So we want my full list here.
Oh, wait.
What?
I just noticed something. And this is obviously going to be the game of the year. Two Worlds 3.
Oh, God, no.
Is it really?
No.
I'm looking at the Wikipedia list of games that don't have the unscheduled releases, and it caught my eye right before Tony was going to start talking. Two Worlds 3.
Holy shit, dude.
And
that's a game changer right there.
Yep, we know what is going to win, so... Go ahead, Tony.
I'm weeping. So we want all 5 games here?
Sure.
All right. I'm really hoping you guys talked it down earlier, but I think I hope Gears Tactics comes out this year. That game looked awesome. And, you know, strategy game plus Gears, you can't beat that.
Right.
Ghost of Tsushima, I really hope that comes this year. I'm not sold on the fact that it will come this year, but fingers crossed. I want my samurais. I want swords. I want to chop body parts off.
It's a PlayStation game, right?
Mm-hmm. It's the next Sucker Punch.
Oh, yeah.
They showed a trailer with no action. Well, I think it was a gameplay trailer, wasn't it?
Yeah, there was gameplay. Yeah.
They showed it at E3. That was the weird experience.
Yeah, they had the guy who came out with
the flute. That was the one with the dead bodies hanging above, right?
I believe so. It was weird.
At E3 is such a... Never mind, go on.
Anthem, again, don't end BioWare. I think the game looks pretty awesome so far. I don't know that it'll be good. It could also be another Destiny, which would be very frustrating, but I hope it's good.
Sure.
Then a couple strategy games. Total War 3 Kingdoms. New era for Total War. It's been a while, so...
Set in China?
China, during the Three Kingdoms period. Hero units, so you have like dudes who could take on entire armies by themselves, kind of like, I don't know, what are those games? Where you're like the guy and you're like...
Dynasty Warriors?
Dynasty Warriors, yeah. Not quite that bad, but, you know, in a more realistic way.
Right.
If that way is realistic in way, shape, or form. And then one more strategy game. I'm sure this is on all of your guys' lists. Imperator, which is the new Paradox game this year.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Grand strategy in the Roman era. It's going to be exciting. I'm going to be looking at maps. moving units around. It's gonna be great.
Nice.
That sounds thrilling.
Okay. let me just say something. I think we should be very hyped for this year, because out of all, like, all of your lists, everything that you guys just said, I think one person mentioned one game from my 6 through 10. So can I throw out my 6 through 10 really quick?
Sure.
Sekiro Shadow Dies Twice, Team okay. Sonic Racing, Bloodstained, Ritual of the Night.
I mean, it's coming up like 10 years now.
I'm scared for that game, honestly.
Chris, you and I are supposed to be fighting for Game of the Year for that one.
If it comes out and is good like Bloodstained Curse of the Moon, sure. But
what if it's the Symphony of the Night of sure. Bloodstained games?
I hope so.
Earl mentioned Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3. Like, the thing I don't get about that is like the game looked weird because the footage we saw was not top down. So what the fuck? If anyone can explain that to me.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a top down. I think it is going to be like that kind of three quarters perspective.
But then, like, is it still the same type of game?
I assume it might be a bit more. It might lean more into the action side of the action RPG.
But can I play with my girlfriend on the couch? And can we?
Yes, it's Nintendo. Cool? I mean, I don't think Nintendo steals a four player co-op game and doesn't have couch co-op.
Four player co-op, yeah.
I mean, I would be afraid of having no online before no couch co-op.
Yeah,
I would prefer it to be more just like Diablo, though. But either way, I'm like excited if it is decent at all.
Isn't it closer to Gauntlet though? I mean,
kind of. I mean, in a way,
yeah. And once I'm surprised it didn't get mentioned at all, Mortal Kombat 11, DMC 5.
It's Doom Eternal. 5 is one that I am interested in.
Doom Eternal was my number 10, by the way, which is another one that no one mentioned.
Wolfenstein Youngblood.
Yeah, like this year is like usually in January it doesn't look as stacked as it does right now. Like this right here, I could make a top 10 list of the year out of, and we're in January. We don't even know a third of the games that are coming out. Like. Well, most of the games that we're going to love at the end of the year is the stuff that we don't even know is coming out. So
I'm always iffy about that because I do feel like this is going to be a transitional year where I think a lot of Microsoft and Sony resources are going to go to next gen, and I feel like a lot of third parties are going to follow suit.
Sure.
Like we'll get more stuff to fill in the year, but I don't think it's going to be a super stacked year.
I think that no matter the year, there's stuff that comes out as the year goes along that no one was even
going
to look forward to. Like, no one even knew it was coming. You know what I mean?
So maybe, if, like, the five games that I mentioned and then, like, you know, a couple of the ones that you guys mentioned, because I'm looking forward to them as well. If they come out, I think we've had a decent year.
For sure. But I'm just saying, like, I'd say this time last year, Chris, did you even know there was Tetris Effect coming out in January of last year?
I mean, I think the first time I'd heard of Tetris Effect was E3, so.
So that's what I'm saying. It's just like, you never know. It could be,
could be one of those
games that are the big games that are just like blow us away.
And honestly, that's what happened for me. Like,
a lot of times, yeah.
Like they kind of dominated my top 10, so.
Or Astrobot.
Yeah.
I mean, shit. If I still had my PSVR, I'm sure I would have been like fighting over that one.
I'm sure. It's in my mind because somebody's upset that people aren't singing its phrase. I'm like,
I would.
An expensive system that you have to buy an accessory for.
That
Sony doesn't market. So, I mean,
Journey to the Savage Planet. Which is, that's the, what the hell is their name? Microsoft just bought them.
Microsoft bought it out of companies.
Recently. Not Journey to the Savage Planet.
Obsidian.
Yeah. What's the name of that game that Obsidian is bringing? That's supposed to be this year.
Oh,
that can't possibly be this year. I know what game you're talking about.
I'm just saying, if Nintendo delivers half of what they're saying, they're like, if I get new Animal Crossing and Metroid Prime and Bayonetta and Luigi's Mansion. All that shit, like, that's what I know of this year. Like,
I will
that's
say,
a great year for me. Like, I would also I'm say happy.
I would also say this much, at least from a Nintendo standpoint, is that we honestly don't even know what they have for this year because they don't usually announce their lineup until January. So there still might be two or three games that they announced for this year.
And, you know, maybe Metroid Prime slips or whatever. Like, maybe Bayonetta slips. I don't know. Who knows? There's no guarantee Bayonetta freezes this year. Like, they said it, but the Bayonetta 2 got delayed, what, how many years? Like, 2-3 years? So, like, we don't know for sure, but...
Yeah. I would also say Streets of Rage 4. I'm a huge fan of beat 'em ups, though. Revivals have been hit or miss recently.
I don't think that genre holds up, but Streets of Rage.
I don't think it doesn't hold up. I think they evolved into Dynasty Warrior type games. And I know you folks aren't necessarily the Dynasty Warrior fans.
I think that's more fun than like playing the old beat 'em ups. To me, it relies almost 100% on nostalgia. But I do have like Streets of Rage is like one of the kings of the fucking of that genre.
I will say over the break, I played a little of the Bouncer.
Oh wow, that is that game I've not heard of in years.
Isn't that a PS2
launch title?
Launch title by Square. It's a beat 'em up.
But like a 3D beat 'em up.
Yeah, 3D beat 'em up.
Yeah.
Game is bad, but I was having a blast with it.
I tried playing the Warriors, the Rockstar one, and even that was just like, I don't know, man.
But are you looking forward to Streets of Rage 4?
Yeah.
It's just like, I'm assuming it's like, it looks like the first three, like one of those type of deals.
It's a different art style.
Is it?
Looks more like hand-drawn, kind of cartoony.
I mean, if they can do something like they did with Double Dragon Neon, where it's kind of a wink, wink, nod, nod to the whole thing, and it's really going to come down to price as well. I think that's one of the big things with beat 'em ups is they are not $60 games.
Right. Yeah, like, if you gave me Streets of Rage 4 and it had, like, a kick-ass soundtrack and it was, like, $20, I'd probably get it, even, and I'm not into that genre, so...
The Outer Worlds is the Obsidian game, and it is set to be released for Windows, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One in 2019. So we'll see. Jeff, I know that this one will probably make you a little happy, but the next super massive game is coming out. It's part of the Dark Pictures anthology. They're the ones that did the Until Dawn. They have a
That's coming out.
Mana Madan, or
this is the one in the boat, right?
Yes.
Is it Until Dawn?
They did Until Dawn. Super Massive.
Okay.
They're the company that made
making
a new kind of cinematic adventure game like that called Mana Madan. It's like a part of a new series that they're making. I think it's like the Dark Pictures or Dark Game Anthology or something like that.
Is that also a PlayStation 4 exclusive?
I don't think so, because it's being published by Namco Bandai.
Nice.
I think. I mean, even if it is, like, I'll play that wherever. Like, I really liked Until Dawn, so.
Yeah.
I think there's some games.
There's definitely some games.
The Medieval reboot, Ori and the Will of the Wisps.
Onimusha is out next week.
Yeah, I'm actually quite excited for that. I haven't played that in a while. Interested to see what they do with it. I know it's not going to be like Resident Evil 2, but I would like to see that with I'd like to see, like, you know, updated visuals on Onimusha.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is, one of the things that we just kind of get nowadays is continuing services. So, you know, we can expect new Overwatch content, new Fortnite content,
new Battlefield 5 content.
We can next week, baby.
The battle royale mode hasn't dropped yet, right?
No.
No. That's so they release their next chapter next week, and then that's in the third chapter.
Okay. What? Who just got a battle royale mode? Oh, was it Red Dead Redemption 2?
That sounds probable.
Or maybe I just...
Stardew Valley got a battle royale mode.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Sanity reigns or not.
I'm not. I think you can only play it on the PC if you have the PC version. But there's a battle royale mod for Stardew Valley. So, Crackdown 3. None of us said.
There's a reason for that.
But I think we'll probably all play it.
Yeah, because it's free if you have
Game Pass. Yeah. At which, you know, we've said this before, but if you don't have Game Pass, you should start using Edge just to get the points. And within 10 days or so, you should have enough points to get a month free of Game Pass. So
I shall do that.
It's like five minutes a day, Earl. Like,
out of time.
I'm pretty close to having a 3-month pass. I'm so close.
Nice.
Yeah.
So we'll be back next week with games, actually. Jeff has pre-purchased New Super Mario Brothers U Deluxe. I will be giving out Onimusha Warlords a try.
Oh, you're getting Mario 2.
I am.
I'm seriously pondering Tales of Vesperia Definitive Edition.
That'd be cool, right?
I like the game. I didn't finish it. I feel like I should go back and play it.
I don't think anyone's finished a Tales game. It's just not possible.
I was going to argue with that, but I've not finished the 3 I've played before. So
you're just like falling right into his theory. yeah. So we will have that stuff at least, and we'll see what comes of those games, and maybe Pete will be back for the first time this year. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.